Open your Bibles with us, please, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible word together. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. We'll commence to read in the verse number 28. Verse number 28. Luke, number 1, or chapter 1, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her, that's unto Mary, and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word that's open in this pulpit today. We thank thee that we believe this book. We thank thee for the authority of the word of God. We thank thee for the revelation that thou hast given of thyself through thy precious word. And I pray today, O God, that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt lead and guide us into all truth. O God, keep us from all false teaching. We ask of thee, O God, that thou wilt keep this pulpit pure from anything that would dishonor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, O God, that this day that we will exalt the Savior and honor thee, O God, our Father, and the blessed Holy Spirit. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast brought us to this house on the Christmas Sunday. We thank thee for the season of Christmas, and we pray that thou wilt remind us today of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son, into this world to be our Savior. And we thank thee that thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's what the angel said. For he shall save his people from their sins. Oh God, we pray. We thank thee for what thou hast done in the saving of many in this service. But oh God, we cry unto thee that every man and woman, young person, would be saved today from their sin and know peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ and his cross. So we hand the service to thee. O God, teach us now. We want to handle thy word. We want to be faithful to thy word and to thy truth. And we pray today that thou will help us to do so and bring glory to Jesus. For we pray in his precious name and for his sake. Amen and amen. When we come to the season of Christmas and we think of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is one question that remains in the hearts of many, and it is this: Who is Jesus Christ? We speak so often, we have been singing about him, we open the Word of God and we read about this man called Jesus. But preacher, tell us, who really is Jesus Christ? Because I believe that the answer to that question is of vital importance. And I want us to understand this morning who Jesus Christ really is. I want you to look, first of all, at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, And I want you to underline a verse number 35. And this is what the Word of God says, and concerning that answer in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 35, "And the angel answered and said unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." Underline that. "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest." Underline the Highest. "The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And underline that, "the Son of God." And you'll notice in that verse, in other words, you have the Holy Ghost and you have the Highest, God Himself, and you have He who is called the Son of God. Now, who is Jesus Christ? What a question, but what an answer. You know, there are people tell us that Jesus Christ was a great moral teacher. Do you remember Nicodemus, whenever he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, he said this. He said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." And there are many people think that Jesus Christ is just simply a teacher, a great moral teacher, and teaching us the standards of morality. There are other people who say that Jesus Christ was among the great men of history. My, there are some down the centuries. What mighty men have stepped upon the stage of time? Well, Jesus Christ was one of those mighty men. He was a great man of history. There are other people say to us, "Well, preacher, in answer to your question, I believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet. He was a special messenger who was sent from God." But friend, who is he? Who is he? What does the Word of God say? I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in the verse number 16, it says this concerning Jesus Christ. It says this, "Without controversy." Friend, there is no controversy concerning this. It is very clear what God says about the Lord Jesus Christ. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I was looking at that verse. We're not going to stop there and dissect that verse or give you an exposition, but I know there are budding preachers here. And you know, I just simply give you a little heading here in this little verse, because it says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." There's the incarnation. Then it says, "He was justified in the Spirit." There was vindication. It says, "He was seen of angels." There is revelation. It says, "He was preached unto the Gentiles." There is proclamation. It says, "He was believed on in the world." There is reconciliation. And then it says, "He was received up into the glory." There is glorification. And I'll have these budding preachers come unto me someday, and I'll get them to expound that passage to me, or that verse from God's Word, on those little headings that are given. But I want you to notice what it says here. God was manifest in the flesh. It says, "That which is born of thee is the Son of God." But let me listen. Let me say this to you. He was not only the Son, or is not only the Son of God. He is God the Son. The Son of God. Yes, but God the Son. Some people say to me, "Preacher, tell me, but how can he be God? manifest in the flesh. Therein lies a tremendous doctrine in the Word of God. And it is the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When you go back to the verse 35 in the book of Luke's Gospel, you find there in that chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 35, notice what it says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And when we consider the doctrine of the Trinity, we state clearly that we worship one God in three persons. We do not worship three gods, but one God who has revealed himself in three persons as Father, as Son, and as Holy Ghost. The doctrine of the Trinity, of course, is a doctrine that is distinctive to biblical Christianity. It's amazing what heresies that can evolve for not understanding the truth that is contained in this doctrine. Therefore, I make it clear again this morning. Jesus Christ, who is he? Jesus Christ is God. He is God of very God. Became man of very man. The God-man, Christ Jesus. The Jehovah Witnesses, they do not accept the fact that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. There was a group of people that brought an awful lot of heresy into and brought havoc to the Presbyterian Church in Ireland many years ago. They were known as the Unitarians. The Unitarians do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. Thank God, Dr. Henry Cook, that great contender for the faith, forced them out of the Presbyterian Church. They caused absolute havoc, especially in County Antrim, many, many years ago when they were forced out of Presbyterianism. In 1828, they became the non-subscribing Presbyterians. Or you've often heard of the bloody Unitarians because they don't believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is essential for the cleansing of our sin. But the Unitarians reject that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Islam does not accept that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. The Quran of Islam says Jesus was only a messenger of Allah. I want to tell them today, they may bow on their knees and their faces before Allah, but there is a God in heaven, and Jesus Christ is his Son, and he is God manifest in the flesh. The Jews do not accept that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. They charge us with worshiping three gods. Many false cults and isms have sprung up who deny this great doctrine of the Word of God. But let me make it clear again. This Sunday morning, this Christmas Sunday morning, Jesus Christ is God. He is God. Turn your Bibles now to the book of John's Gospel. There was a controversy there in chapter 8. And in chapter 8, you find that the Lord Jesus encountered the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day, which on many occasions he did. And in the dialogue with the religious leaders and with the Pharisees, they sneered at the Lord Jesus Christ, because when they had nothing more to say, then of course they thought they could ridicule the Son of God. And what did they say? Turn to chapter 8. Look at verse, in chapter 8, look at verse number 41. Ye do the deeds of your father, said the Lord Jesus. And who was their father? In actual fact, they were of their father, the devil. He said, ye do the works of your father or the deeds of your father. Then said they to him. Notice what they said to him. This is to the Lord Jesus. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And what were they suggesting here? You see, my friend, they turned to the blessed, holy, spotless Son of God, and they said this, we be not born of fornication. And what they were implying was that Jesus Christ was, for he was born out of wedlock. Joseph was espoused unto Mary, and they were trying to point the finger at Joseph and Mary having this child before they came together. But notice in the interchange between them, go on down to verse number 56. And it says there, your father Abram rejoiced. This is the Lord Jesus speaking here. He rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. And he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Friend, he was only 33. But he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And they said, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now mark verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Why did they cast stones at Jesus at that particular moment? Why was it that they lifted the stones at that particular time to try and cast it at the blessed Son of God and hurt the Son of God? I'll tell you why. It was what Jesus said at that moment. He said, before Abram was. Notice he didn't say, I was. He said, before Abram was, I am. And you know what every Jew remembered? He was claiming to be God. Because every Jew remembered, just keep your hand there, go back to the book of Exodus. And you remember whenever Moses was sent of God to Egypt. And God sent Moses to go to Egypt to deliver his people. And Moses was concerned because Moses had an impediment in the speech and he didn't believe that he was capable for the task. But God said, Moses, I want you to do the job. I'm sending you. And then Moses said to him, verse 13, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? Tell me, who is he? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And you see, whenever they heard Jesus saying, before Abram was, I am, they knew exactly what Jesus was claiming. And they lifted up their stones to stone him. You see, indisputably, friend, Jesus Christ is God. Now, of course, we have spoken about God the Father is God, and we see here that Jesus Christ says that, makes that claim that he is God. Then turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And you remember the story? It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And you remember it says here in verse number 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And whilst it remained, was it not in thine hand? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. He said in verse number 3, thou hast lied to the Holy Ghost. And then it says in verse number 4, thou hast not lied unto men, but thou hast lied unto God. That means, my friend, the Holy Ghost is God. We therefore worship God, one God, who hath revealed himself in three persons. Remember what the angel sang, or the seraphim sang, in the book of Isaiah. It says they cried, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We sing the hymn, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I know time's quickly going, but I want us to try and get this as far as we can this morning. And I'd like to get through this. First of all, the greatest mystery. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The greatest mystery. How are we going to know about the Trinity? Let me make it clear this morning. No power of logic, no power of scientific theory or scientific investigation can understand the doctrine or the teaching of the Trinity. The only way that we can understand it is by not investigation by man, but by revelation of God himself. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest, or God was revealed in the flesh. You know, you and I of ourselves, friend, I don't care how great your mind is, we'll never be able to figure this out. John Wesley said, can a worm understand a man? And the answer is no. But let me make something clear this morning. The Trinity is, whilst it is beyond our comprehension, the Trinity is not contradictory to logic, or is not contradictory to reason. It is beyond it. There are things about God, friend, that the mind of man cannot fully comprehend. God never had a beginning. You and I had. But you and I will never have an ending. God is the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. There is nothing impossible. We read it this morning in Luke. There's nothing impossible with God. Elizabeth was in her old age. She was beyond childbearing, but she bare a son. Why? Because God said it. God ordained it. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. In other words, who can understand, my friend? There are powerful men in the world, but I want to tell you this. He is all-powerful. He is almighty. There is nothing beyond him. I can understand that with my little finite mind. Someone who is beyond all other power. God is omnipresent. That means that God is present everywhere. Can I fully understand that? You know, we talk about the devil. And when we think about the devil, friend, let me tell you this. Remember this, the devil's not everywhere at one time. He can't be. He's only a creature. He's a created one. And so therefore, the devil has to work through his demons. But God Almighty is everywhere. The Word of God tells us that the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Who can understand that? Who can fully grasp the omnipresence of God? God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. There is nothing that God doesn't know. God knows all about you, and God knows all about me. Who can fully understand that God knows all about every man and woman, boy and girl in humanity? You say to me, preacher, well, listen, I confess this morning, I don't understand it, because that is true, my friend, because God is beyond your comprehension and understanding, for he is infinite. Augustine said that one day he was walking along the seashore. And as he walked along the seashore, he saw a little boy. And he watched the little boy for some time, and as he watched the little boy, he noticed the little boy was digging in the sand. And then he turned to the little boy and he asked the little boy, son, what are you trying to do? And the little boy there at the side of the seashore, he turned to Augustine and he said this. He said, I want to empty the sea into my hole in the sand. Little boy's imagination. He couldn't empty the sea into sand. And you know, that made Augustine begin to think. And this is what he said. Am I not trying to do the same as this child in seeking to exhaust with my reason the infinity of God and collect it within the limits of my mind? Friend, the finite mind of man cannot possibly comprehend the infinite God. But then remember this. The doctrine of the Trinity does not depend upon my reason. It does not depend upon my logic. It does not depend upon my understanding. Praise God, it depends upon divine revelation. What does divine revelation say about God? Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. And there's a question asked here. Speaks about the greatness of God. Look at verse number 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? Comprehended the dust of the earth in the measure and weighed the mountains in scales? And the hills and balances. Imagine. What a mighty God, friend. And then verse 18. To whom then? Ask the question. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? And that's the right question. Listen, who are you going to compare God with, friend? There is only one God who hath revealed himself in three persons, but you cannot compare him to anything or anyone. Yes, it is true. You can see reflections of the Trinity everywhere. For He, God, made everything. But whilst the reflections, you and I, my friend, will never fully be able to understand the majesty and the might of God. Turn to Psalm 97 quickly. Psalm 97. It says in verse number 1, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of islands be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory." Friend, have you ever thought of the might of those words? We just say, "The Lord reigneth." God's on the throne. But study those verses that follow after to see the majesty of the Holy One that you and I have come to worship today. The Lord of glory. I said a moment ago that we see reflections of the Trinity everywhere, for he made everything. For example, let me give you some. For example, space. You see, space is measured. How do you measure space? You measure it height and width and depth. Now let me tell you, those three are different from each other. Height is different from width, is different from depth. Those three are different. And yet when we think of space, they're all part of the same. Let's take another example. God made time. And how do we measure time? We measure time in past, in present, and in future. The past is distinguishable from the present. It's distinguishable from the future. But my friend, let me tell you, the past, present, and future, they're inseparable. And then something else. Not only God made space and God made time. Listen to me. God made man. And what does the Holy Ghost say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23? It speaks about man, body, soul, and spirit. In reality, you and me are triune in nature. And yet you're sitting here, not as three persons, but one. And so all of these are but reflections. They're illustrations. But friend, they fail to understand the Trinity because they're only faint reflections of who God is. Three distinct persons in the Trinity. The personality of the Father, the personality of the Son, the personality of the Holy Ghost. The Father is truly God. The Son is truly God. The Holy Spirit is truly God. But the Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Father. And the Father and Son is not the Holy Spirit. I can understand this? The only way you can understand this doctrine is by opening the book. Tell me, where would you start? I'll tell you a good place to start. Genesis. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. And when you turn to Genesis chapter 1, you read verse 1. I suppose you could not start at a better place. Just start at verse 1. And what do you read in Genesis chapter 1? It simply says this. It says, in the beginning, God. Now the word there for God, and I should bring up these students because they will confess that they are now going through their great Greek and Hebrew classes, and the folks that went before this started, praise the Lord, that we are just only amateurs in all of this. But the word there is Elohim. Now let me give you a wee understanding of that. You see the ending of the word Elohim. You see the two, I am. When you come to that there, Elohim is a plural word. For example, seraph is one heavenly being. Seraphim, I am, is plural. Cherub, a cherub is one. Cherubim, I am, is plural. And so it says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go down to verse number 26. And notice what it says here. And God said. And the next word is this. Let us make man. Now it doesn't say let me. It says let us. Let us make man. What's happening here, friend? And God said, let us make man. You see, friend, what we have been brought into there in those words is an amazing thing. That you and I have the opportunity of listening to the triune God in counsel together. In conversation together. A way back when God started the clock of time. And God said, let there be light. And God did all of those things. And then he said this. Let us make man. What a great mystery here. And then you turn to Exodus chapter 3 that we read earlier on. And when you come to Exodus chapter 3, in verse number 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am has sent you. Jehovah God. You know, to the Jew, the most sacred name for God is Jehovah. It is a fact. Some Orthodox Jews will not even repeat that name. It is so holy. Or will not even write it. In actual fact, the copiers, the Jewish copiers, whenever they were writing it and they came to the word Jehovah, they set down their pen. They lifted another pen and they wrote Jehovah. They wouldn't write it with the same pen, but they wrote the other words. He's the great I am. And yet there's an amazing statement. Then you turn to Deuteronomy. And I know time's away and only got to the first point. And I don't know, these clocks, sometimes you feel you put your heel on them. But Deuteronomy chapter 6. and verse 4. And you know, every Orthodox Jew will repeat morning and evening, they learn this from a child. The Lord our God, hear, O Israel, verse 4. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And Israel lived at that time in a world of idolatry, of polytheism, many gods. And God gave a commandment to his people and to Moses. And then he says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you find there that the Lord our God, Elohim is in the plural. It speaks here about the Trinity. You say, but it says one God. Friend, let me tell you, that is not a singular one. That is a compound one. And I'll prove that there is a compound one. Just go back to Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 2, and it says concerning Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. A compound one. They shall be one flesh. I wish you had time this morning to go further here. You know, the great eternal God had a son. The Bible tells us the three Hebrew children were walking through the fire. Way back in the book of Daniel. And whenever the king looked into the fire, what did he see? He says, I see four men walking. And then this is what he said. It's amazing. He says, I see four men walking, and one is like unto the Son of God. Heathen king. You know, the Lord stepped out of glory that day. His children are walking through the fire. And the Lord stepped out of glory. And he took a stroll through the fire to preserve his children. I was just thinking about that. That's truly God with us. And what was his name? Emmanuel. God with us. And then quickly turn to Proverbs. I'm going to soon be finished to point one, and you can go home. Get your lunch. Proverbs chapter 30. This is what it says. Listen to this. Verse number 3. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? And then it says this, what is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Yes, I can. His son's name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. I'll tell you what's his name. What is his name? Can you tell me who the son's name is? Isaiah the prophet opens his record, and he says, I'll tell you who his name is. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Mighty God.
His name is the Everlasting Father, the Father of eternity. His name is the Prince of Peace. You say to me, preacher, oh, I wish I could understand all of that. Listen to me carefully. Isaiah the prophet also said this. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And friend, let me tell you this. You say to me, how high? As the heavens are high above the earth, how high are they, friend? I can't tell. I can't tell. And that's how far God is from mine understanding, the infinite God, and I, a finite mind. But I'll tell you, I believe. They that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somebody put it like this concerning the Trinity. Listen to this. If you want to jot it down. Define the Trinity. And somebody said, define the Trinity and you'd lose your mind. It says, deny the Trinity and you lose your soul. What mystery. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord. Oh, wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet the shepherds fall. Crown him, crown him, Lord of all. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And I finish with a question. Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know the power of his forgiveness? Do you know the peace of his pardon? Oh, if you know him not, I beg you in Jesus' name, come receive him as your Savior for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence and we thank thee for thy word this morning. I pray in Jesus' name that thou will bless thy word to each and every one of our hearts. And we thank thee that thou hast so condescended to send thy darling Son into this world to be our Savior. And I'm so glad I'm saved today for time and for eternity. Those who are listening, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, I beg of thee, reveal Jesus to their hearts. Show them their sin, their lostness, their hopelessness without Christ. Bring them to peace and pardon through the blood in Jesus' name.